Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's 2019, but North Carolina's minimum wage of $7.25 per hour remains stuck where it was in 2009. If the minimum wage had increased since 1985 as fast as annual bonus pay on Wall Street, it would now stand at $33 per hour. And while we all know there's not much risk that the wage will be raised that high anytime soon, there is a growing and encouraging movement to raise the wage, at least over time, to $15 per hour and then to index it to inflation. Recently, two of the people helping to lead the movement for change in North Carolina, workers' rights activist C.C. Croxton and Dr. Alan Fryer of the North Carolina Justice Center's Workers' Rights Project, sat down with producer Clayton Henkel to discuss their latest efforts.
Well, we are delighted to have with us this morning Alan Fryer, director of the Workers' Rights Project for the North Carolina Justice Center, and C.C. Croxton, the state organizer with the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
That's great to be here, as always.
Well, there's a new push in North Carolina to raise the minimum wage above $7.25 an hour. Tell us a little bit about that, Alan.
Sure. Well, as always, it's great to be with you. So let's talk a little bit about why we need to raise the minimum wage. A lot of folks say that the market should just take care of it by itself, that wages will somehow miraculously go up. We know that that's just not happening. Working folks in North Carolina have seen their wages go down by 10 cents an hour over the last 10 years. Now, a decade is a long time to wait for a raise. And when it doesn't happen at all, and then, in fact, you find out that your paycheck shrunk by $200 a year, that's a problem. That shows that what we're doing isn't working. So if the free market isn't going to raise wages, then state government should. And we're already part of the way there. As you know, the General Assembly last year, in a last-minute election year ploy to stave off losing seats, raised the minimum wage for state employees, for some state employees, to $15 an hour. So if it's good enough for them, then it's certainly good enough for everyone in North Carolina. And so we're really excited by this push, and it's going to benefit a lot of people in North Carolina.
And we should say this new push would take us from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour by 2024. I think there's an assumption that folks who are earning minimum wage are teenagers. Maybe it's their first job or a summer job. But CC, tell us that's just not the case. Tell us a little bit about members with the National Domestic Workers Alliance and their situation.
Yes. So I think that myth is often told, that the folks who are earning minimum wage are teenagers, folks who are under 20, but actually a majority of folks who are in minimum wage fields are folks who are older than 20. And particularly within the care sector, these are folks ranging from the early 20s to folks all the way in the 60s. And particularly for our members, we have a lot of folks who are median age 40s to their early 60s. And so these are, you know, fully fledged adults who are making low wages. And when we talk to folks in the field, you know, one of the number one things that comes up is the need to raise wages. One of our members during our bill introduction event, they talked about being in the field doing direct care work for 10 years, and the most they've ever made is $11.50, and having to make really tough choices between paying for their rent, paying for food for themselves and their families, and also paying for lights. And I think those are choices that no one should have to make. It's a crisis for us at this point, I think, how low wages are, and something that we all need to be throwing down for. Alan has spoken to this, but the minimum wage has not kept up with inflation. The minimum wage, the value of it has, you know, constantly eroded over the decades, and it is not meant to actually provide a decent, fair life. You know, our minimum wage is one of barely surviving. I mean, we want to get to the point where folks are actually thriving and are able to live well.
I think that's a really important point. There are a lot of people who may not be making $7.25 an hour, but there are a lot of people who are making $8 an hour. And that's not a living wage, is it?
It's not. It's not. We'd love to see the minimum wage raised to $15 an hour. We've included in our bill a raise to $15 an hour over the next 5 years. Also, key legislation pieces to include domestic and farm workers who have been historically left out of legislation, and also an ending of the subminimum wage for tipped workers and inclusion of youth workers and folks with disabilities.
So in some ways, the wage we've had in the past has been discriminatory.
Very much so. And we have a long history of exclusion. Domestic and farm work was industries that were typically occupied by Black folks, Black workers. And so the intention to exclude Black workers was one that we're still filling today. And now in the fields of domestic work and farm work, they're overrepresented by Black workers, by people of color, by immigrant workers, by women. And these are already marginal groups. And so a raise in the minimum wage would definitely be a boost for these groups and further prevent their marginalization and make sure that we are raising the floor for all workers when we're talking about the living wage.
I'll let you talk a little bit about the tipped wage, because I think there's a perception that, well, $7.25 is as low as you can go. You can actually earn less in this state in some cases.
The tipped minimum wage is $2.13 an hour. I don't know if folks know that, but it's really wild that customers are paying the wages of employees instead of their bosses. This is also has a, you know, a history of, you know, racial discrimination when we're talking about the tipped wage. And I think that there is a push and there's a lot of support around having one fair wage for all workers in our state. And we've seen in places where they've eliminated the subminimum wage that actually doesn't do away with tipping, but that folks are actually able to make ends meet and have the basic necessity of life because we're able to have one fair wage for all workers.
I think there's a perception from some that if you just worked harder or if you need more to make ends meet, you can find another job. That's not always practical, is it?
No.
It's fun. When I go on the road and have these conversations with folks in rural North Carolina, we do a living wage exercise. And we say it takes about $2,800 a month to make ends meet in North Carolina. Some places cheaper, some places like here in the Triangle, it's going to be more expensive. But $2,800. If you double the number of hours you work at minimum wage from 40 hours to 80 hours, you're still making about $2,000 a month. So you're still making $800 less than you need to put food on the table and gas in the car and make ends meet in the way that Cece said. So it's kind of ridiculous that even if we double, if we work 80 hours a week, right, like a lot of Cece's members do, you're still not able to make ends meet. So we need to make sure that since the market isn't doing this, that state government needs to step up and do what it's supposed to do.
It really is astonishing. We, as you mentioned before, state government, they raised the wages for state workers last time around, but they've been a little bit hesitant to raise the minimum wage for all workers, even though this is an issue that polls very well across the spectrum.
Yeah. So last year, I have to say, it was amazing. The Appropriations Committee that was debating this during last year's budget debate, you had these very conservative members from rural North Carolina waxing philosophically and quite beautifully, actually, about how important it is that folks should have a living wage. And, you know, we asked them afterwards, well, we agree state employees should definitely have a living wage. What about those private sector workers? Oh, well, that doesn't really count. We don't. The market should take care of that. So at any rate, we are glad that at least some of them have admitted that at least some workers need a living wage. So we just need to push them and make sure they recognize everyone does.
And you've got a new report out that we should mention. It's Why Raising the Minimum Wage is Good for Everyone in North Carolina. Can you share with us some of the numbers, if you've got those, in terms of the people who would benefit from this? There are a number of workers in a number of fields, from retail to domestic workers, who would benefit if this piece of legislation comes to pass.
Yeah, so top line, 1.6 million working people in North Carolina would see a raise. It would be as much as $4,400 a year, which is a pretty big bump to your paycheck. That number goes up significantly when we start talking about African Americans in particular, who, as Cece said, have been historically marginalized from the economy. They would see about a $4,800 bump in their paychecks every year. It includes about 100,000 farm workers, about 100,000 domestic workers, and it's really exciting. We're finally including these folks that have been historically left out.
Occasionally, some people push back and they say that if we raise the minimum wage, certainly to this level, this quickly, we're actually going to lead to more joblessness or people reducing their hours.
You know, I think at this point, this is like the boy who cried wolf, right? For decades, we've heard these hysterical claims that when you raise the minimum wage, it's going to kill jobs. You think we would have seen it by now? I mean, 35 states have raised the minimum wage since 2009, right? That's more than half. And yet these terrible job losses have never happened. Even just last year, comparing the states that had a minimum wage increase take effect on January 1, 2018, compared to those who didn't, the states that saw the raise saw absolutely identical numbers of job creation and unemployment rates to the states that didn't raise the wage. I looked at the numbers this morning and it's just startling, right? These claims are just completely baseless.
Tell us a little bit about that, Cece, from your point of view. Obviously, I would think that if you're getting a boost in your pay, you're probably going to be a more loyal worker, mm-hmm. and you're going to spend that money in the economy, which again helps business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it actually is a really difficult situation for employers when employees are not able to stay in the fields because they're making such low wages, and particularly within the direct care force, the care sector, this is a problem, high turnover. You know, some agencies experience 90% turnover from year to year. You know, for families who are receiving care, this is a problem if you're having a revolving door of care workers who don't understand the needs of your loved ones, who are, you know, having to quit after a few months or, you know, even a year. You're getting used to someone and they're having to go because they're getting a job at Costco, because they're going to retail, because they're going to other sectors. For businesses, this is really good because we're, you know, we're keeping folks in the field, particularly within the care sector. We have an aging population that is booming that we're going to need to keep up with the way that folks are aging out. And so we have to maintain, you know, our levels of the workforce. I think raising wages is a way to do that, making sure that the folks who are providing care are cared for themselves and that they're not having to worry about how they're making ends meet, how they're getting gas to go to their clients, how they're going to care for their families once they get off of work. And so I think it's just better for businesses and for individuals and particularly for workers.
It's absolutely critical. Raising the minimum wage creates good jobs. It doesn't kill them. The bill we're watching this session is House Bill 366. We want to thank our guest this morning, Alan Fryer, director of the Workers' Rights Project with the North Carolina Justice Center, and Cece Croxton, state organizer for the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Great to be with you.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.